So first of all, Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And then the picture language of James chapter 1 verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I remember when I started at London Bible College in 1961 that a deacon from my home church, Balham Baptist Church, gave me this book, A Bunch of Everlastings by F.W. Borum. He was an Australian preacher, I think. And there are, I think, 23 little chapters in this book. And basically, it deals in each chapter with a verse that was significant to the character being described in that particular chapter. Some of the people covered are John Bunyan, John Knox, C.H. Spurgeon, John Newton and John Wesley. And I found it a lovely gift for me as I went to London, as it was called, Bible College, to study God's word, to prepare for Christian ministry, to have this book that focused on the fact that the Bible changes lives. The Bible has a tremendous impact on people's lives. There's a guy in my church at Grantham. He's one of our elders. He's a young man, got a young family, and I really respect him. He's in his early 30s. He's a very ordinary guy. But where he shares the Lord Jesus with people, particularly I've done two alphas with him, he speaks from the heart and he's got this love for God's word. And he'll mention scriptures when he speaks. And you realise that these are not just sort of proof texts that have been learnt to get something across. These have been verses that have really gripped his life. verses that he's clung to when the going has been tough. It just comes right through with this young guy. And I really learn a lot from him. You know, he's much, much younger than me. But I just see in him someone who really believes in the power of Scripture and holds on to it. And all I want to do this morning is to underline that for you and for me. We build up to Christmas, build up to the general election on Thursday, as we face all the challenges of life, that at the core, I hope, there is the Bible in your life. Right at the heart, you are reading it and seeking to live by it. Hebrews, in some ways, is quite a tricky book. It's not always a favourite book for people to read because it's very much influenced by the Old Testament and the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. There are a lot of references back to how things were done in the time of the tabernacle and then the temple. And it gets quite technical in its language, because Hebrews was a book that was written for the Jews, and it was intended to show to them that Jesus, the great high priest, is greater than the priests of the sacrificial system. And that Jesus, who is both high priest and God's ultimate sacrifice for sin, through his death, the one death on the cross, has bought man's redemption. So the theme is that Jesus is better. Better as a high priest, better as a sacrifice for sin. And one of the themes that goes through prior to this verse in Hebrews 4:13 is the idea of entering into God's Sabbath rest, as it's called. And it takes us back through the Old Testament to the time of creation, when God rested on the seventh day. And then it takes us through the early part of the history of the Jews as Moses led them to the promised land, and then Joshua took them into the promised land. As it were, the rest that had come after all those years of slavery. And then into the New Testament, we are taken to the rest that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us as we come to him, as we trust in him. The rest that comes when we become new creatures in him, when we are converted and born again. And the rest that comes as God sanctifies us, changes us, so that we become like Jesus. And that rest that comes when we, at the end of our lives, go to glory to be with him forever. And at the heart of that is this emphasis on the importance of Scripture. And there are three words I want to bring. They're very much connected. First of all, we see the power of Scripture. This verse, Hebrews 4:12, says this: the Word of God is living and active. In 1 Peter, Peter says, the living and enduring Word of God. Jesus spoke, and he says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. We read in 1 Timothy, that the Bible is God-breathed. It is the product of God. It is totally inspired. Every part, every book, is given to us by God, and it has been preserved in such a way that it brings us God's truth in God's way to us. Some parts of the Bible are difficult. They're historical, and they portray things to us that are most uncomfortable. Behaviour that was depraved. But God wants us to know those things and to learn from them. So the Word of God is living and active. It has a power. And that power comes to us when the Holy Spirit, if you like, wounds it deep within us. In 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry, I'm in a way bombarding you with text, but it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God which is at work in you who believe. In Acts 20, the word of his grace which can build you up and give you an inheritance. Jeremiah in 23 gives a double metaphor. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? That's a very powerful double metaphor, isn't it? The word of God, when you read the scriptures, it's like a fire. And in another way, it's like a great big hammer. And my word, it breaks you apart. So every time you and I open God's word, we're submitting ourselves to something that is extremely powerful. In Isaiah, the writer in chapter 55 says this about God's word. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So whenever the word of God is preached or proclaimed or shared in a one-to-one situation, whenever you read it in your own home, as the Holy Spirit takes hold of it, wounds it to our hearts, it accomplishes the purpose that God wants for it. That passage from James says that the Word of God is like a mirror. I think most of us early in the morning, we don't like what we see in the mirror, do we? You know, that we men with all our, we need a shave, you know, and we look a bit mucky and hair up on end. Well, it's how I look anyway. I'm just, some people get out of bed and there's not a hair out of place, but some mornings it's quite frightening. I don't know why I'm getting into this, but you get out of bed and you look in the mirror and your hair's all up on end, and you have to sort of think, oh, I think I'd better have a shower and get it right, or you get some water and smooth it down. But it's reality, isn't it? You're facing reality as you look in the mirror. And this is what James says. We're to, when we read God's word, see things as they really are, to look at ourselves as we really are. And the crucial thing is that James says we must not only hear the word, we must not only see it, but we must act upon it. We must do the word. It's no use going away from the mirror that has shown us in the state we are, the bloodshot eyes. We must do something. We must apply it to our hearts. There's that famous saying, I would to God that a ploughman would sing a text of the scripture at his plough, and that the weaver would hum them to the tune of his shuttle. And this was the desire, wasn't it, of those early translators of the Bible. They were translating the Bible, and the printing of the Bible became so important that it would give to ordinary people the opportunity to read, study, learn and apply, and sing scripture and memorize it and speak about it without having to rely on a priest with the one Bible in a church context. And you and I guess, are so privileged. I know at home I've got a number of different Bibles, different translations. And of course, many of us on our phones, we can have apps on our phones and we can have access to all number of scripture versions, can't we? Just at a press of our finger. The power of the Word of God. But there's something else about Scripture that is very encouraging. Scripture has a precision about it. The writer says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. I'm not into fencing or anything like that, or into swords in history, but I would guess the most important thing for someone who was going into battle with a sword was that it was sharp so that it could do its job. The Message translates this passage with the phrase sharp as a surgeon's scalpel. I always turn my face away, but sometimes you get these programs where they do operations and you watch someone doing an operation. Well, it's not for me. You see that scalpel and it makes that first mark and penetrates. And the surgeon has to be precise, doesn't he? Many use these cameras, don't they, so that they can magnify the area that they're operating in. And even some now use machines, don't they, to do the, almost do the surgery, because that machine can do it, you know, perhaps the surgeon's hand is a little bit unsteady. Scripture has a precision about it. It cuts well. It has a laser beam accuracy. Let me quote you two examples. Do you remember David? This well-known king. Great military prowess. A poet. A singer. Good-looking. And yet we find him away from the battle, from commanding his army, having a rest. And he's on the rooftop. And he sees a lady bathing, someone else's wife. And that sets in motion a whole chain reaction that leads to adultery, to the contrived murder of the lady's husband, and to a sequence of events that really led to him having a troubled family life. All sorts of agonies, really, in his own family life. And I don't think David truly realized the full extent of what he had done until the prophet Nathan, in 2 Samuel 12, started to talk about an illustration of a ewe lamb taken from a poor man by a rich one. And as David listened to this story, he was indignant. He said, this rich man, that's unfair. He shouldn't behave like that. And Nathan looked him straight in the eye and he said, you are the man. And the penny dropped. And David realized how grievously he had sinned by committing adultery, by committing murder, by misleading his people. And we read that he was only able to say this in response, I have sinned against the Lord. And you can see his full repentance in Psalm 51, a remarkable psalm of repentance. There is a precision about God's word that cuts in exactly the right place, getting to the very problem that is there. Of course, it's not only facing problems. It's sometimes when we need guidance that God's word is like that scalpel and leads us forward. In all the eventuality of life, in all the many faceted areas of life, the Holy Spirit working through these scriptures with precision guides us and leads us forward. Another illustration is Daniel 5. Do you remember the king, Belteshazzar? It was a drunken orgy, really. And they were using goblets and gold and silver that had been pillaged from the temple. And then there came a figure writing. And later on it was translated what that figure was saying. That this king was weighed in the balances and found wanting. That his kingdom would be divided. And we read by the end of the chapter that he died. The word of God has a precision. And when you read it, really believe that. Really believe. When you open God's word, whether you perhaps use Bible reading notes or you're going through your own scheme of reading scripture, ask God each time you open his word up that it will speak to you. That he will, in his precision, get to the nub of whatever it is that you need guidance over. It's wonderful, you know, when that happens. It's a very humbling experience to find that this passage of the Word of God that you're reading on the settee at home is absolutely speaking with precision into your own heart and life. And really allied to that, the Word of God is powerful. It has this precision and it has penetration. It says here it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There's not an area in my life or in yours where God's word does not penetrate. You can never say of any situation in your life that God's word has nothing to say about it. Where you have to say, I am on my own. The Bible doesn't cover this. Every part of our living can be penetrated by the Holy Spirit working upon God's word. It divides, it judges, it uncovers, it lays bare. In 2 Peter, the word is like a light shining in a dark place. I love that passage in John 1 where Jesus encounters Nathanael. And it's fascinating because Jesus had been reading this man's mind. It would seem, if you look in John 1, that he had been reflecting on the experience of Jacob. The time in this place that he was to call Bethel, when he had this dream and he saw the angels ascending and descending, a ladder going from heaven to earth. And it would seem that Jesus, with this penetration, saw that this man, Nathanael, was reflecting on that passage of scripture. Because he said to him, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The Lord Jesus, when he saw that man, his gaze penetrated right to his very thought processes, to what he was dwelling on at that very moment. Now, if you apply that to your life and my life, when we earnestly and honestly seek the Lord, and we open up the scriptures, and we begin to read them, God can penetrate right to the heart of whatever is troubling us, whatever guidance we're looking for, whatever problems, personal problems. We all have personal problems. We all have areas in our life that need the Lord to sort us out. There are still continuing battles that we have against sin. And the Word of God penetrates, it divides, it gets right to the nub of everything. That's the power, the precision, the penetration of Scripture. There's a nice quote of John Stott. "Whether or not we agree with Tertullian and Augustine that the two edges of the sword represent the Old and New Testament, the Bible has many sword-like qualities. It pricks the conscience and wounds the pride of sinners. It cuts away our camouflage and pierces our defences. It lays bare our sin and need and kills all false doctrine by its deft and sharp thrusts." There's another quote. Kierkegaard, who was a Danish philosopher and theologian, wrote, "Where we read God's word, you must constantly be saying to yourself, it is talking to me and about me. It is talking to me and about me." I really encourage you this Advent season to get into God's word. I don't know where you are about that. I thank God that I was guided to have a daily quiet time when I was a teenager. I'm so glad that there's barely been a day in 60 odd years where I haven't read God's word. And I thank God for that. I thank God that in those years God's word has penetrated with precision, accuracy, in power at times in my life. So I would encourage you, if you perhaps don't have a regular time with the Lord, whatever word we use to describe it, you begin now. People can help you with Bible reading, notes, whatever you choose to use, books that will help you. Don't delay. Open yourselves up to Scripture. Let it guide you, sustain you, and take you to the Lord Jesus himself. God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Thank God, and let's sing a hymn to prepare us for meeting with our Saviour and celebrating his death on our behalf. Thank you.